Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Not going to lie, walking out to that music never gets old. It is just fantastic. Hey, if it's your first week, we're here right now. We're in the middle of a series called Heroes. And what we're talking about is how to be a hero. We don't really mean that like in a superhero sense. What we mean is, I think we all are kind of born naturally wanting to be the kind of people that thrive in adversity, the kind of people that can overcome obstacles, the kind of people that when things go down, when we struggle, that we are able to overcome those things. The kind of people that people admire for our character and then just kind of look up to. Like we inherently want to be those people. And oftentimes we see those as other people, but we don't really think it's something that's okay, that's possible even for us. And so we started this series a few weeks ago studying the life of this guy. His name's David, and he would eventually become the king of Israel. And the reason we're studying David is because what made him stick out, what made him stand out, what made God able to use him so greatly was something that was completely and totally within his control. It wasn't his intellect. It wasn't his appearance. It wasn't anything outside of his control. It was his heart. He had decided that he was going to give his heart to God and that he was going to follow God. And the reason that matters is because you have complete and total control over your heart. You can't control how tall you are. You can't control how much you weigh, to a point. You can't control how you look. You can't control how smart you are. You can't control any of those things. But you can control your heart. You can control the access you give to the God of the universe. So what we've been saying for the last couple of weeks is that the key to being a hero isn't who you are, but whose you are. Another way we've said that is anyone can be a hero when Jesus has our heart. In other words, we can begin to be the people that we admire. We can begin to become the people that we see thrive in adversity, overcome obstacles. We can be those people just like David did. Not because of anything we are, not because of anything outside of our control, but because of completely and totally the availability we give God to move and speak into our life. And that's what we learn from the life of David. We learned that week one when he was appointed to become the king of Israel. Last week we saw his first public test when he faced Goliath and he beat Goliath. What we learned last week was that was his first public test, but it was not his first test, right? There was space between when he was anointed king, when he actually became king. That space was called preparation. And I challenge you to begin looking into your own life and see what God is preparing you for, because as we said last week, preparation always comes before the promotion. See, God has a purpose for your life. He has a promotion. He wants to use you. He wants to elevate you to a level to have influence and to speak into other people's lives. And he wants to use you to change the world. But before he can use you, he has to prepare you. And that's what we saw last week with David. So I encourage you to begin embracing your preparation, to begin embracing the adversity you face in your life, to begin embracing the obstacles, embracing the opportunities when you don't quite get it as fast as you wanted to look back and say, okay, clearly God is preparing me for something in this moment. Because God was preparing David for something. See, we hear the story of David and Goliath, and we think, well, that had to be David's greatest triumph. Actually, no. It ends up really being a footnote in David's life. This huge, massive giant really was one of the easiest trials he ever faced. But the lessons he learned preparing for that trial and the lessons he learned in that trial prepared him for the future test, because they didn't get easier. They got more difficult. And they got more tricky. And they got longer. Goliath lasted, what, 10 minutes? The trial we're going to look at today lasted years. And David found himself in a situation where he had to go back and he had to really rely on the lessons that he had learned. And he had to rely on the fact that he had decided that he was going to follow God with all his heart. He was going to follow God no matter what. Because like any great hero, he found himself in a situation where he had to make a decision that other people weren't going to agree with. He had to make a decision that other people weren't going to like. He had to make a decision that other people were going to question. He had to make a decision where he put other people's goods ahead of his own good. He had to put God's plan above his own plan. And he did it. David was able in that moment to make that decision. And I go ahead and tell you that now, because a lot of times we can get caught up in this. Well, of course David could do it because he was David and I'm not David. And he was anointed and he was that. No. There's a reason God goes out of his way over and over and over to say David was a man after God's own heart. He was just a man who decided to follow God. And so the very same God that led David into this step is the same God that can lead us into this step. And the reason we're talking about this is because just like David, you are going to be encountered every single day, I'm encountered every single day, with opportunities to make decisions. And we get to choose in that moment. What do we do when the right thing and the easy thing are not the same thing? What do you do? Another way to put it, can you follow God when it doesn't make sense? Can you follow God when it might cost you something? Can you follow God when it might cost you some money? Can you follow God when it might cost you a relationship? Can you follow God when it might cost you a job? Can you follow God when it could cost you your life? At that moment, are you a man or a woman after God's own heart? See, that's where we find David today. David literally was faced with a life or death choice. It was a life or death decision. And he had to decide in that moment, am I going to do the right thing or am I going to do the easy thing? Am I going to do what my circumstances dictate or am I going to do what my convictions dictate? And I don't know about you, but I face those decisions, I face those situations all the time. And the reason we're talking about them today is I am fully convinced if we want to become the man or woman God wants us to be, if we want to experience that life of purpose and meaning and satisfaction, and that life of being used by God for other people, this is something we have to decide now. And how many of you know if you don't decide now, it'll be decided for you later? You have to decide now. You have to decide before it comes. Because in the heat of the battle, you get all confused, and I don't know what to do. And our boy David, he had decided. And you can too. That's the story of David. It wasn't David that was special. It was his openness to being used by God that was special. And you can have the very same thing happen in your life. So, can you follow God when it doesn't make sense? That's where we find David today. Now, I've kind of got to catch us up to David. Last we left David, he had just killed Goliath. And when he killed Goliath, all the soldiers went home and they told their wives. Wives told everyone. So David got famous. David got very, very famous. And Saul liked what had happened. And so Saul made David a commander in the army. And David was very successful as a commander in the army, and people began to notice, and people began to talk, and they began to create cheers, and they would create songs, and they would talk about Saul, and they would say, Saul has killed his thousands. And everybody would go, yay! And then they would say, David has killed his tens of thousands. Well, that number's bigger. And so Saul began to notice a rivalry because David, you know, he began to get favor amongst the people, and he started looking at David. Now, he had no idea what God was doing in David's life. He had no idea God had actually called David to be the next king. But Saul starts looking at David, and he starts getting jealous. He starts thinking, now, wait a minute, this guy could come at me. This guy could take my kingdom. So he does what anybody would do in that situation. He threw a spear at David's head. That's not a joke. He literally, David's playing the harp one day. Saul takes a spear, chunks it at David's head. David goes, what are you doing? Saul's like, my bad. But over a series of events, Saul becomes increasingly paranoid and afraid of David. And so he tries to kill David to the point where David has to flee. He has to leave his family behind. He has to go and he has to go hide out. And he eventually finds himself hiding out in a mountain. Right, he's hanging out in the mountains, hiding from Saul because Saul is now trying to hunt him down and kill him because he's afraid he's coming after his kingdom. Word gets out that David's hiding in this mountain. About 500 to 600 other men find out David's there, so they go up and they join with David. And so now David's got this army of 600 men. This terrifies Saul. So Saul gathers 3,000 of his best troops. And you want to make sure you go win the fight. And he goes in search for David to kill him. Right? This is where we find David today. This is the situation David is in. David, the guy who has been chosen by God to lead his people. David, the guy who God used to defeat the giant, now finds himself in a life or death situation. And he has to answer this question. Can I follow God when it doesn't make sense? So, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 24. That's where we're going to be. And what happens is, when Saul gets there with his 3,000 men, they kind of hone in on this one mountain, and Saul's there with his men, and he's looking for David, and he's trying to find David, and that is the context in which we read this line in verse 3. At the place where the road passes some sheepfolds, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. I did not think I'd ever read that in church. Just not going to lie. It was not something I thought would happen, but nature calls. And so Saul, he's a man, he's got to go do his business. And so he goes into a cave. You're wondering, why are we talking about this? Well, there's a reason. Look what happens. But as it happened, David and his men were hiding farther back in that very cave. So Saul walks into the cave to use the bathroom where David and his men are hanging out. Saul, who's trying to kill him. Saul, who has to be removed as king before David can become king. Saul, the very reason David can't go home, the very reason David's running, the very reason David's hiding, walks right into David's hands. These circumstances could not be any better for David. You're probably thinking what I would be thinking and what David's men were definitely thinking. Here's what they said. They said, now's your opportunity. Today, the Lord is telling you. I love it when people speak for the Lord. I love it when they're like, you know, when the situation fits them. Well, this is, look what God's done for you. Isn't this amazing? It says, look what, so today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power to do with as you wish. And if you're David, you have to be thinking, finally, I didn't ask for any of this. I was hanging out in my dad's field. They called me, some old man, put olive oil in my hair, took me a week to get it out, told me I was going to be king. Then he sent me back to work. Next thing I know, I'm killing a giant. I'm playing for the king. He's throwing spears at my head. Now I'm out here in this mountain with 600 guys. They weren't soldiers. They were criminals. They were misfits. The 600 people who had come to David weren't really going to David. They were fleeing as well. There were people who had broken the law. There were people who owed people things. And so they were like, well, if David's out there, we'll go hang out with him. So it's him and 600 hooligans. And then David comes. I mean, Saul comes with 3,000 men. David just wants to go home. He just wants to go back to his sheep. He just wants to go back to his family. And then in that moment, it's like God looks down at him and says, David, here you go. This is a present for you, wrapped up in a little bow. I give you Saul. Going to the bathroom. He could not be any more vulnerable right now. And so in that moment, David is able to think, look at my circumstances. Clearly, this is what God wants for me. And this is what happened. So David crept forward and cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. He creeps forward and he rebels. Cutting the hem of the king was a sign of you saying, you're not the king anymore. I want to be the king. It was a clear demonstration to his men of rebellion. And it was a preparation for an execution. Who would blame him? I wouldn't. His friends wouldn't. Nobody in this room would. Saul was a bad dude. Saul was crazy. Saul was paranoid. Saul was going to kill him. David was going to be the next king anyway. So he shows his men, here we go, cuts off that robe, and then something happens that I believe happens to each and every one of us at this exact same moment when we have the decision to make, can I trust God when it doesn't make sense? Here's what happens to David. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. I know what you're thinking. What? His conscience bothered him. Why in the world would his conscience bother him. Clearly God was orchestrating this. His circumstances are so clear. Why in the world would his conscience begin to bother him? Here's what David says. He says, the Lord knows I shouldn't have done that to my Lord, the king. I'm just going to let that sit for a minute. The Lord knows I shouldn't have done that to my Lord, the king. Then he takes it one step further. He says, the Lord forbid that I should do this to my Lord, the king, and attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him. See, what happened in that moment is that David's conscience began to bother him because he was rebelling against his king. God had chosen King Saul. God had anointed King Saul. Therefore, only God could remove King Saul. For David in this moment to remove King Saul would be David saying to God, I don't trust you to take care of this. You have made a mistake that I have to fix. God, you are asleep today. I understand. Don't worry. I got you. I will fix this problem. But remember what we've said about David. At his core, he was a man after God's own heart. He was a man who wanted to please God above all. And he knew in that moment, despite what Saul had done, despite what Saul was going to do, despite the opportunity, despite the circumstances, his convictions were right. His conviction from the Holy Spirit, which said, hey, you're stepping outside your lane. You're stepping too far. That's my man. I picked him. Do you think I made a mistake? Do you think I don't see what's going on here? Do you think I couldn't take him out like that when I was ready? That's not what this is about, David. This isn't about him. This is about you. This is about, in this moment, can you trust me when it doesn't make sense? And David, because he was a man after God's own heart, because he had decided to follow God, even when it doesn't make sense, decided to please God instead of protect himself. And he looks at his men, and he says, we're not going to do it. So David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. He didn't do it. He did not allow his circumstances to challenge his convictions. He did not let the voice of many outweigh the voice of one. He listened to the voice of God rather than the voice of the people around him. If his family were there, they would have said to do it. Everyone in this room would have said to do it. But David was a man after God's own heart. And the reason I believe we have this story recorded is a challenge to us to say, if you want to live the life David lived, then you have to have the faith David had. And you have to trust me like David trusted. So I ask you again, can you follow God when it doesn't make sense? Can you follow God when the right thing and the easy thing aren't the same thing? Can you follow God when every instinct you have, every entrepreneurial drive you have, every problem-solving inclination you have says, hey, just this once, it's not a big deal. Just step a little bit outside. We'll get it done. We'll come back in line. It'll all be okay. It's just one thing. It's just this little thing. It doesn't really matter. Nobody's looking. Nobody can see what you're going to do. Everybody would understand. You're just a man. You're just a woman. You're just doing what's best for your family. You're just doing what's best for your career. You're just doing what's best. Come on. Just do it. When you find yourself in that situation, can you follow God? When it doesn't make sense. And it's easy to say, well, of course David could do that. He's David. No. You have access to the very same God that whispered to David in that cave, don't do this. And you know how I know you have access to it? Because he whispers to you all the time. You find yourself in situations, you get right up to it, and that step. And you hear that voice say, don't take that step. You're like, oh, but I want to take this step. He's like, don't take it. Don't take it. And so you keep going. You go, oh, but it'd be so good. It'd be so fun. It'd be so fun to take that step. Don't do it. That's the moment where you have to make the decision. And those decisions determine your destiny. And that sounds cheap and easy to say, but I promise you it's true. Because it's in those decisions where God was able to form David into the man who would follow him to become the greatest king the nation of Israel had ever had. And it's in those decisions you make where God, it doesn't determine God's love for you. He loves you, thinks you're perfect, and he's going to take care of you forever. The question is, what value can you bring to him on earth? How much can he use you to impact other people? That's the whole game we're playing here. If you've given your life to Jesus, you're going to go to heaven and spend eternity with him. How many people are going to go with you? How many lives is God going to use you to change? Those are the decisions that are made when we follow God when it doesn't make sense. Those are the decisions that I'm talking about today. And that's the reason we're looking at David, because David chose to follow God. He chose to follow God when it didn't make any sense, and I'm certain his friends told him it didn't make any sense. Can't you just hear his buddies in that cave? Like, David, man, come on. Dude, he's right there. I want to go home. You want to go home? He's going to kill us. And David, here's the deal. God's going to forgive you anyway. If you're wrong, what's the worst that happens? God forgives you. No, here's what would have happened. The reason Saul was removed as king was because he took matters into his own hands. It was because he would not wait for God. So David would have been following Saul's path and would have lost his ability to be king. Because that would have been an earthly consequence, not an eternal consequence. And there are always earthly consequences. There just always are. But that's what we do, right? Don't we convince ourselves, you don't understand. God, you're loving and you're going to forgive me. And that's all true. He's going to forgive you. But it's going to cost you something. But it's the line of thought that leads us as we make these decisions, as we get in these situations of, can I follow God when it doesn't make sense? You know, it's kind of people who would, you know, kind of line of thinking that would go something like, hey, God, I know that your way is best. I know that we should follow you. I know all that. But you don't understand my situation. You don't really understand my job. And honesty isn't really something I can do in my job. I have to lie just a little bit. Not a lot, not a big lie, just a little lie. Just a little lie, God. Because I got to close this deal, God, because if I close this deal, I'll make more money. I can tithe with. I'll tithe, God. I'll tithe. I'll do it with all this money I made. Or, God, I know the tithe thing. We just brought that up. I know I'm supposed to do that, but here's the deal. I really want this new house, God. And if I tithe, I can't afford this house. And if I have this house, God, I'm going to host a CG, and circles are better than rows. And so I'll open my house to you, but no, I'm not going to be able to tithe. I can't do that because it doesn't really fit my current circumstances. We love to let our circumstances determine our convictions. And I was really challenged yesterday by my 8-year-old son. My 8-year-old son, we were playing soccer. He had a soccer tournament. I don't really know what I've gotten myself into, but he did. And I wasn't really paying attention. The ball went out of bounds, and they called it out of bounds on the other team for our team. And I heard the referee say, oh, well, thank you for being honest. And he turned it back to the other team. My 8-year-old son John had gone to the ref and said, no, it's out on me. And David, my 10-year-old, yelled at him. What are you doing? They're not going to give you a point for being honest. David reacted the way I would have reacted had I heard what was happening. But it literally, I was so proud of him for doing that. And honestly, it's not something I've taught him because, as we were talking about backstage, sports is do or die, baby. I mean, you win. You don't admit anything. But it didn't even occur to him. It didn't even cross his mind to be dishonest, to get an advantage. That's because he's 8. When he gets 10, it'll probably occur to him a lot. But see, here's what my 8-year-old son, Jonathan, has in common with King David. They both understood a fundamental fact of following God. And it's in his eyes, obedience trumps expedience. He is not interested in your problem solving. He's not waiting for you to figure it out. He's not waiting for you to magically make it all work so you have enough money. He's not waiting for that. Here's how I know. He already knows how it ends. The result is finished. It's over. It's done. He knows the end. What he's concerned with is the middle. He's concerned with the process. How you get to the end really means nothing to him because he already knows it. He wants to make sure you get there the right way. And what's going to happen in your life and what happens in my life and what happened in David's life is there's going to be moments, there's going to be opportunities, there's going to be circumstances that present themselves as a triumph. This is it. This is the way I solve my problems and I can please God. But that triumph is going to really be a temptation. And David was able to identify that because he knew these circumstances don't line up with my convictions. Even though these circumstances are all pointing this way and I'm hearing people telling me it's God's will, guess what? God will never direct you to do something that is contrary to his word. If you want to know God's will, read the Bible. 98.7% of every question you have about God's will is answered right there. 70% of it is summed up with love God and love people. That's it. And we pray and pray and pray to hear God tell us something other than love God and love people. He's like, I've already told you the answer. But when our convictions and our circumstances don't line up, what are you going to follow? What are you going to chase? David got it. He got this fundamental truth. And for some of you, man, you are so frustrated you came today because you got a meeting tomorrow and it was on. You knew what you were going to do. You're like staring at your wife, why'd you bring me today? I knew this was going to happen. Well, guess what? It's about to get worse because I hadn't even told you the bottom line for today yet. The whole point of today, the lesson that David is teaching us and the lesson I believe we all must embrace in our lives if we want to become the men and women God wants us to be, if we want to become heroes. If we want to become people who can thrive and overcome in struggle and adversity. Here it is. Any step you take towards a goal that leads you away from God is a step in the wrong direction. Any step. Now, how would your life be different if you embrace that? How would your life be different? If you just decided right now, you can't change the past. I understand that I can't change the past, but you can change your future. You decided right now, any step I take towards a goal that leads me away from God is a step in the wrong direction. Now here's how I kind of want you to think about it, right? Sometimes it's hard to see that in the middle. So I want you to step outside. I want you to pretend it's the end of your life. And you're kind of looking back on your life. Or better yet, pretend it's your kids' lives if you have children. Pretend you're looking back with your children on their entire life and answer this question. When you look back on your life, do you want a good result or a God result? Your life is probably full of good results. Results that the circumstances dictated and you took some steps or a little bit outside of God's will, a little bit outside of what God wanted, but you're like, hey, it's okay. I got to get this done, man. I got to knock this out. Some of you right now are living in your good result and you don't understand why it didn't work quite as well as you wanted it to. You don't understand why the new house or the new car or the new boat or the new whatever doesn't quite feel as good and as great and as satisfying as it was supposed to, as you just knew it would. And I say this with love in my heart. That's because you robbed God to pay for it. God loves you. He loves you with all his heart. But you can't allow your circumstances to dictate your convictions and then still expect a God result. Some of you are in a new career right now, a new job, you got a promotion, and you thought it was going to be the best of everything. But the problem is, you allowed disinformation and outright lies to be said about the old boss so that you could get the job. And you didn't speak truth. And I know you told yourself, well, I have more money to tithe, so it'll all be okay. But it didn't work. Now, here's the thing, and then we're done. You can't unring that bell. You can't go back and change the past, and God doesn't want you to change the past because he doesn't want you to feel guilty about those things because you can't change those things. Now, let me go ahead and tip my hand. In a few weeks, we're going to talk about David blowing it as well. Right? David was a man after God's own heart. So don't kid yourself into thinking David was always perfect because he's not. You're not perfect and I'm not perfect. Today's not being about perfect. Today's living with a purpose. And if we want to achieve our purpose, we have to decide. We have to agree that any step you take towards a goal that leads you away from God is a step in the wrong direction. Any step. See, I believe this encounter changed David's life. I believe David told this story often to his kids. I believe David often talked about the moment in the cave when he did not allow his circumstances to dictate his convictions, when he clung to God. The reason I believe that is because the next king, King Solomon, was David's son. And King Solomon wrote a book of Proverbs, a book of wise sayings. And in Proverbs chapter 14, I am convinced that King Solomon was writing down something that his dad had taught him over and over and over again as they shared this story. And here's what he says. He says, there's a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. It seems right. It seems good. It seems like God's laid it out for me. But that little voice says, that's not me, man. That's you. That's the opposite of me. So today, as you leave this place, what step do you need to take tomorrow to turn your life back towards God? What step are you about to take that you need to reevaluate? What decision do you need to filter through the principle that any step you take towards a goal that leads you away from God is a step in the wrong direction? Any step. That's my prayer. That's my challenge. That you can leave here today transformed. That you can leave here today with the same conviction David had in that cave. God following you is better than anything else. You have my heart and I trust you. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when it seems like it's going to cost me everything, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to follow you because I know you have the best intentions for my life. And folks, I'm telling you, when that becomes the heartbeat of your life, when God gets that much control over you, there is no limit to what he can do through you to change the world around you. So decide today that any step you take towards a goal that leads you away from God is a step in the wrong direction. Step towards God and watch what he continues to do to and through you to change the world around you. Let me pray. God, we just love you so much. And Father, as we close today, as we close with this song, Lord, I pray that you will just make yourself real to us, that you will make it so crystal clear the steps we are to take, that you will speak so loudly when we're about to take a step that's outside of your will, as we're about to take a step that's outside of where you want for us, Father. Don't give us a choice. Make it so clear that we joyfully follow you. God, give us friends, give us family, give the people who surround us, who point us towards you. Give us a conviction, Lord, that obedience trumps expedience every single time. And may we be like David. May we follow his example. May we give our heart to you. May we allow you to use us to change the world. It's in your son's name.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.